We began last week talking on this subject of our journey, and we talked about how that Christianity is, yes, ultimately about a destination where we're going, which is called heaven. But between now and there, that it's more about the journey than it is about reaching someplace and stopping and saying, I have arrived. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some different aspects of this journey. For some of you, some of these things are going to be refreshers. Some of these things we're going to be talking about are kind of like going back home and visiting the old home place and kind of being reminded and refreshed about what life has been and where God has brought you to. For some of us, some of these things are going to be new as we begin to pursue everything that God has for us in our lives. So I want to ask you today, take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And as you're doing that, let me say hello to the campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. Week in and week out, we serve different communities around West Tennessee and Illinois. And we are glad that you are part of one of those campuses today. And as we go into the Word of God today, I'm glad you're there. Now let's get ready to receive what God has for us today. The book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, I want to read three verses to you, beginning with verse number one. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he is talking to them about the aspect here. Over the next few verses and over the next few chapters, you're going to see the Apostle Paul begin to really drill down on several things in this church. There are several things that are good about this church, and then there are some messes in this church. And the Apostle Paul is going to talk about each of those. He's going to talk about the good things, but he's going to talk about the bad things. But the interesting thing that he starts off talking to them about our God, our church, our group. He's bringing this together. Last week we talked about the aspect of the journey beginning when we believe. When we come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, we are now yours. We want you to know, Lord, that we are giving our lives to you. And in that moment, guess what happens? Jesus Christ comes in. He becomes our Lord and our Savior, and we belong to him. Amen? That's what happens in that moment. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is belonging. Last week we talked about believing. Today we're going to talk about belong. And let me explain. Last week, the belief brought us into a relationship with Jesus Christ where now we belong to him. But it's not enough just to belong to the Lord. The scripture is full of references, especially in the New Testament, to how that you and I have a relationship with each other. How many of you know that it would be a lot easier sometime to serve Jesus if it wasn't for some other Christians? Right? Come on. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, there are those moments that Christians just mess up this thing called Christianity. And yet, the Word of God talks about, the Apostle Paul especially talks about, how that we are all a body and how that one part of us takes care of the other part and we flow together. And he says, you can't say if you're not the eye that you're not part of the body. He says, you know, you can't try to determine what part of the body you are. God's put you in that place. And he gives us this whole thing. And what I've found out so often about Christians is that we don't mind belonging to God, but we really don't want to belong to his body. Right? The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. And guess what? That means that we have to belong together. Now, I'm going to talk to us today about moving into membership. It's one of those things that for years and years as a pastor, I just didn't talk about. Because I thought, well, you know, as long as people love Jesus and they're serving God, that's what it's all about. And there is the ingredient of that, you know, we're saved so that we can live for Jesus and be obedient to him. But then I began to study the New Testament, and God began to convict me that I had not made important what God made important. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ came, that he could have fulfilled his earthly ministry by himself? Right? I mean, he could have done all the things he did. But what did he do? At one point, he chooses 70. At another point, he chooses, out of that 70, he chooses 12 of those to be the closest to him. He spends time with them. He travels with them. He hangs out with them. He mentors them. He puts life into them. And yet, we find so many Christians who say, well, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Well, where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. We're going to have fun today. Hey, here's the great thing. You're at church. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about somebody else. And not only are you at church, you're at church on the day that we lost an hour. I mean, you are as holy as they come, people. Come on. Right? You didn't sleep in. You got up and went to church today. But here's what we find. People are always saying, well, you know, I don't want to belong to a church. And they give all kinds of reasons. They say, well, you know what? The church is boring. And I have to admit, sometimes the church can be boring. Or they say, well, the church is kind of outdated. It's you know, we're in a different day and with all the technology now and all the things that, you know, church is just, it's kind of, you know, we're kind of that place. Or they say, well, the church is too big. Or the church is too small. Isn't it interesting? It kind of sounds like Goldilocks, don't we? Too hot, too cold, too, you know, too firm, too soft. And we kind of have that. And then I've had people say, well, the church is abusive. Well, the world is abusive. Amen. Now, please let me say something to you. If you've been abused in a church situation, I am sorry that happened to you. But don't paint the whole body of Christ because you came through a bad situation. All right? For anybody that's been wounded and abused by the church, our heart goes out to you and we say that should have never happened. But we want you to understand today that because you have experienced that somewhere, it doesn't mean the entire body of Christ is that way. Amen? And then what I hear is, the church just isn't authentic. It's, you know, there's just a bunch of phonies that go down there, and it's just a bunch of hypocrites. Ever heard that one? Just a bunch of hypocrites go to church down there. And I've always thought this. I've never said it. When somebody says, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites going to church down there, I always want to say to them, well, come on down. One more won't hurt us. I'm sorry. My brain goes places, doesn't it? So we have all of these excuses. We have all these reasons of why we don't need to belong to a church and why we shouldn't be part of a church and why it doesn't matter that, you know, as long as we've got a relationship with God, that's all that matters. And yet, the Scripture time and time again talks about why that we belong together. You and I belong together. Whether we know it or not, we really do belong together. Let me say this to you. I need you. And you need me. Amen. In fact, would you just look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Now tell them, you need me. Come on, those of you watching, do the same thing. Do what pastor says. All right? So why is it, somebody say, I don't, if you knew who I was sitting next to. Yeah, see, you can't choose what member they are, all right? You just chose to sit by the wrong thing this morning. I'm sorry. No. All right? What we have to understand is that there are reasons that we belong. The first reason, and I'll give it to you, is identity. The first reason that we need to belong is identity, and I'll explain that. The book of Ephesians, the second chapter in the 19th verse says this, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. When you get saved, whether you know it or not, you are then put into membership in the body of Christ. You are part of God's body. Your identity comes from who you are associated with. Listen, when you travel around the world, if you leave here today and you are an American citizen, when you go to a foreign country, they're going to ask you for your passport. And if you don't have a passport that shows that you belong in America, they will not let you in their country. because they don't know who you are and where you're from. You could be somebody that's crazy, going to blow their country up, and because of that, they want to know where you come from and who you belong to. Now, isn't it interesting that so many Christians don't want to have an identity? They don't want to belong. They don't want to have their passport I don't want anybody to know where I go. I don't want anybody to identify me with those kind of people. Listen, can I ask a question? Have you seen some of these Americans? I mean, we got some crazy people in this nation. I mean, right? Come on, if you've been in West Tennessee, we got some crazy people in West Tennessee, but we'll still stand up and sing, "I'm proud to be an American." Right? Even with all the crazies. I get my identity, according to Scripture, from the group, from the church, from that which I have been made a part of. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 5th verse says this: "So we being many as one body in Christ and individually members of one another." See, that identity comes not just from me being out here by myself floating around. That identity comes from me being part of a group that I am identified with according to Scripture. The second thing, that the reason I need to belong, is because I need support in my life. I need people who come along beside me when I'm in the good times as well as in the bad times. The book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass," let me back that up, "sistren, if any woman..." All right, it's not just brothers, it's also sisters. It's not just men, it's also women. "Is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Let me say this to us. It goes on to say, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Every individual faces issues in their life. You face things in your world, and there are those moments that you need somebody to come along and to restore you, somebody to come along and to help you. Have you ever been in one of those moments that you just needed something? Anybody? Am I the only one? Have you ever been in that place? Again, maybe I shouldn't tell us. Have you ever been in that place that you didn't want to pray? You didn't want to read the Bible. You didn't want to go to church. It was in one of those moments, one of those seasons of your life that you just said, "Man, it's so bad. I am going through such a valley. I'm experiencing so many heartaches." Or maybe some bad choices you made in your life made you feel guilty and condemned, and you couldn't get free from it. And yet what the Scripture says is that it's in those moments where those that you are in relationship with come alongside of you and they support you, they restore you, they encourage you, they put you back in the place. It's interesting to me, and we've heard it said, but it really is true, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only army that shoots its own wounded. Why is it that we don't understand that people are going to experience bad things and that people are at times going to make bad decisions? "Well, you know, if they do that around here, we're just going to kick them out." Really? That's your answer? That's not what... You know what that tells me? That tells me you're not spiritual. Read the verse again. "You who are spiritual, restore such a one." That word "restore" is the word for when you set a bone back into place. And you know what happens? They tell us that when you've broken a bone, that when it grows back properly, that where it has broken and grown back is stronger than the rest of the bone. when we understand that God has called us to support one another, not just when everybody is doing good and living right and acting right, but even in those moments where people have fallen into sin and they have done evil and they have gone against the law and the word of God, that as believers, we are still to come alongside of them and support them. The book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, says this: "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And then it goes on to say, "Not forsaking." This is the one that pastors love to quote. "Not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as you see the day." That when it talks about the day, it's talking about the day of the return of the Lord. As you see the day approaching. God says to us that we're to love one another, we're to encourage, we're to exhort one another in that moment and in that time. So it's needful that I am part of a body of believers, because it's in that body of believers that when I'm going through something and I'm not experiencing life at its very best, that somebody is going to come along and help me and support me and enable me to reach what it is that God's called me to reach for. Amen? That's why it's important to be part of the body. The third thing is discovery. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm talking about our gifts. The Word of God says that every person has been given gifts. When you come into the kingdom of God, God gives you gifts. And sometimes those gifts are underutilized. And I won't go into it, but 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, begins to talk to us about those gifts. And it says, to each one is given a gift, to some the word of prophecy, to some encouragement, to some. And it begins to list, and it's according to who you read, but there's well over 20 different spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture. There's power gifts, such as the gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles, the gift of prophecy. All of those are in there. But there's also gifts such as the gift of mercy. Boy, do we ever need that one. Amen? That's one that I need a lot, right? It's one that I always score one of the least on, but it's one that I really need to receive a lot. All right, there's the gift of there's the gift of administration. There's the gift of leadership in Scripture. On and on and on. God's given us all of these gifts, and what I found is a lot of times, have you ever been around somebody who's kind of out there by themselves and they just get strange? You know, maybe it's just them and their family and their, and I don't want to get in too much trouble, but I'm going to go there. And they're doing their little home group thing. I get in more trouble and don't mean to. Right? But they just get weird. They just, they're laying hands on each other and they're praying for each other and they're prophesying to each other, but it's, you know, it's us four and no more. And they get weirder and, right? Stranger and stranger and stranger. Why? Why y'all look at me that way? You know it's a truth. And the reason is because they don't have a broader body of believers that's helping them to discover what it is that God has said to you. The good thing to have in your life is to have somebody that's not impressed with your gift. Amen? I mean, when people walk in and they see somebody and God's using them, and it doesn't matter what the gift, it can be the gift of hospitality or whatever. If we're not careful, if it's just a few of us and you know, we get, I'm so impressed. You need people who are not impressed. I've got people in my life who just really are not impressed with me. And they don't mind telling me. It's just like, we don't care how many you had Sunday. And we're really not impressed what you preached, because we saw you do this, right? I've got friends in my life who, when we get together, it's like World War III. But it's good. It's good for all. We just rip in. We look at it and go, you're just messed up over here. Let's talk about this. Right? And what happens to us is if we don't have that kind of relationship in the body, is that we get this one or two little gifts and we start operating in those gifts, and people say, you're really gifted. And the problem is we start believing it. I'm really gifted. So we start handing out cards. Gifted. You know, apostle, prophet, reverend, bishop, high priest, you know, whatever. Every title. I mean, there's some people have to have a whole page and list all their titles. You know, it's here's who I am. Well, wait a minute. When you're in the body together, those gifts have a way of being discovered. Those gifts have a way of operating, but those gifts also have a way of being moderated. Because somebody will come alongside and say, let's talk. Yep. Amen? And it's good. Don't be afraid of that. Don't say, I've had people say, well, God. Right? Boy, I'm going to be careful. Lord, how much time have I got? Okay. I remember years ago, there's a gift in Scripture called the gift of interpretation of tongues. I can remember being in a certain church at one point in my lifetime between the North Pole and the South Pole. And every time there would be tongues that would go forth, this person would stand up and they would give interpretation. But it was always in King James verbiage. Yea, I would say, hallelujah to thee, I was young, and so when you're young, you're dumb. I went to him one day, and I said, why do you do that? Why do I do what? I said, I've talked to you on a gazillion times, and you've never sounded like Shakespeare. But when you give this interpretation, it's always, and they got real offended at me. And here's what they said. That's the way God gives it to me, and that's the way I'm going to give it. And I just went, whatever. I just turned around and walked off. Because it was like they weren't willing, and I admit I was young, but they weren't willing to say, wait a minute, maybe if I broke this down a little bit, and talk like a normal human being. Let's move on. I'm in too much trouble. The fourth reason is protection. Protection. All right? The book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, you're not going to like this one. Get ready. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey those who have the rule over you. Wow. That is one in America today that nobody wants to hear when you go to church. Let's go on. Let's read the rest of it. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do. Okay. Okay. I'm not even going to try. If you've got that kind of an attitude, I'm not going to waste my breath. You all right? They watch out for your souls as those who might give account. Watch this. The scripture says that the day you stand before God, your pastor is going to stand before God as well and give an account for how you lived. Now that's scary on both sides as far as I'm concerned. That keeps me up at night to make sure that I'm preaching the right thing and doing the right thing. It ought to keep you up at night knowing I'm going to be standing there with you. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. See, when you are part of a body, it brings protection into your life. It really does. People don't understand that. They think, I can't believe Pastor get up and he'd tell me not to do this. Who does he think he is? I don't think I'm anybody. But I do think that the Word of God gives me direction. And here's what I determined. I determined years ago that I wasn't called to be your best friend. I was called to be your pastor. And there are going to be times, whether you're in this location or one of the campuses, that I'm going to preach something to you and you're not going to enjoy it. But that's okay. Because when I preach things that you don't like, if it's out of the Word of God, what God is saying is, let me bring some protection into your life. The book of Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 28 and 29 says this, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you," talking about us as pastors, "has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood." Okay? And then it says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Now think about that. The devil knows that if he can come into a church and tear it up, that he destroys not only the people that are going to that church, he destroys the influence that that church can have in the community. And so it's important for us to understand that when God, and I'm not, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying today. I'm not saying that I'm infallible. I don't claim to be some guy who never misses it and always preaches exactly. But I will tell you this, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to see what it is that the Word of God says, and I'm doing my best to bring that to this house. And to bring it to every Love and Truth campus week in and week out, and to say to us, listen, here's what the Word of God says. And if we will listen to it, it will bring protection into our life. God doesn't tell us not to do things, and on the other hand, to do certain things because he doesn't want us to have an enjoyable life. He does that for our protection, just like you do that with your children. Amen. The next thing is this. Is accountability. You say, "Pastor, I thought that's what you were talking about." No, that's protection. That's what a pastor does. But when you are in a local church, it brings accountability in your life. The book of Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." One another. You need to have some people in your life who you're totally honest with. Amen. We really do. It's now, I understand, be careful who you pick, right? Don't get the person who posts everything on Facebook, right? I mean, I've y'all know me and Facebook. I don't do Facebook, but I don't understand why I need to know what you're eating. That's just my opinion. I don't really care when the... No, I'm not going there, Lord. I'm going to get forgiveness over this, God. You know, these people who overshare everything, that's probably not the person you need to expose your soul to. Amen. I mean, you need to make sure if they have a gossip thing on them, that's not the one you go and tell your greatest sin to. Because they can't wait to get away so they can tell everybody else. But you do need somebody in your life who you're accountable to, that one another thing. And through the years, I've seen it operate, and I've seen it operate with great success, and I've seen it operate with failure. I told somebody a while back, a pastor called me and said, "Would you serve on my church board?" And I said, "I would love to, but," I said, "let me tell you about church boards, outside pastoral boards that come into churches." I said, "They are only as effective as the pastor lets them be." I said, "Now, if you just want to tell your congregation you've got an external advisory board," I said, "great, you know, that's what you got." But I said, "if you'll let us," I said, "we'll come in and we'll help you and we'll help your church. It's your choice, all right?" It's the same way in our lives. You can say, "well, I'm accountable to so-and-so," but if you never tell them the truth, if you never let them know what you're struggling with, if you never talk to them when you're down, if you never go through that place and with them, then it's not going to do you any good. In fact, I've decided that whatever the questions are that we ask each other, that the last one ought to be, "what did you just lie to me about?" Right? And then we'll kind of break it down, hopefully, and get real. Okay? But we need accountability, and that happens in the body. That happens with believers, that we can wait. You need to have somebody. I don't care which campus you're at. You need to have somebody that when you're not at church, the next time you show up, they go, "where you been?" Amen. Now, our bigger campuses, that's easy to kind of get lost. Well, nobody knows if I'm there or not. No, but you need somebody to know if you're there or not. Right? See, I need to belong. How do I go about belonging? Here's what belonging means in Love and True Churches, and I'll wrap it up real quickly, okay? First of all, is the growth track process. For you to be a member and to be part of Love and True Churches, we ask you to go through the growth track process. Now, people say, well, I've been saved for 829 years. We understand that. We got it. We're not talking about salvation for you guys, for some of you. Now, in the first week, we're going to talk about salvation, but it may just be. But here's what we know. We know that we come from such divergent backgrounds that the only way to get us all on the same page is to take us all through the same process. All right? And process is not bad. Process is good. All right? So get involved in the growth track. You say, well, I want to be a member. I want to be, well, get involved in the growth track, because it's not just about membership. It's also about helping you grow. It's helping you discover your gifts. It's helping you to move in to everything that God has for you. Listen, I believe it's important that you don't just show up at church. I believe it's important that you are part of the church. Amen. So we talk about the growth track. The second thing is developing spiritual disciplines. I had somebody ask a while back. I said, well, how do you know if, or they asked the question this way. They said, what is it you do to make sure people are growing? I said, I preach the word. Right? Now, understand how I'm going to say this. It's not my responsibility what you do with the word. I got freed from that guilt long ago. I used to think, well, I preach the word, now I got to go and I'm going to go over here, I'm going to help him live it, I'm going to help her to live it. No, that's not my responsibility. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to develop spiritual disciplines. Come on, you know that. You know that in other areas of your life. Nobody else can make you disciplined. Somebody walk out and say, you need to go to the gym. And they tell you that every day. It doesn't matter. They walk by and say, well, you need to go, you fill in the blank, all right? You may have wanted to go to Walmart. I don't know where you want to go. I know where some of your minds just went, all right? So, well, you need some spiritual discipline. All right? Only you can discipline yourself, whether that's in the natural or in the spiritual. But if I'm going to belong to the body of Christ, then I've got to develop spiritual disciplines. I've got to learn to pray. I've learned to read the word. I've got to learn to be faithful to the house of God. I've got to learn to do what it is that God's called me to do, to tell other people about you. I've got to do that. And then lastly is discovering my gifts and talents. If I'm really going to fulfill what God's called me to do in his kingdom, then I need to know what my gifts and talents are. And I need to be using those in the environment that God's placed me in. And so if I've got a gift for teaching, then I need to find out how that operates in the local church. You say, Pastor, do you believe everybody needs to be involved only at the local church? No, I think that you ought to be involved at the local church, but I think you ought to be involved outside the local church. But I don't think we can change one for the other. I think we need both. And so when we begin to understand that, all of a sudden, the church becomes an important entity much more than we've made it. I came across a letter, and I'm not going to read the whole letter because I don't like reading long, but I came across a letter that a man wrote. I think his son was 5 years old when he wrote this. But I want you just to listen to a little bit of this. Dear Tristan, by the time you read this, it might be helped to like church again. Right now it isn't, but luckily for us, you're 5, and for you, church is just another place with good toys, friends, and lots of space to run. You love church now, and you love it for many of the same reasons we love it. You get to see your friends there every week, and you know they're going to be there because their parents have committed to be there. You get goldfish crackers and juice there, while we get donuts and bad coffee. But the idea is the same. Friendships and relationships. You're getting to know people whom you'll hopefully know for a long time because you share a bond in Christ. I pray that God would surround you with people who challenge you to die to yourself and your sins. And I pray that if I am that person at some point in your life, that our relationship would be strong enough to weather it. I also hope, and I want you to hear this, I also hope at some point you'll get a chance to experience the body of Christ through hard times. If there's one thing I've learned in my years of church involvement, it's that hard things happen to everybody. There's sin in this world, and as a result, our bodies are in a constant state of decay, and our lives are almost always, it seems, in turmoil. Nearly every family in our church has dealt with job losses, cancer, heart disease, marital discord, infertility, the death of a child, or a myriad of other tough circumstances. Through that, I've seen the body of Christ work in wonderful ways. I've seen people give sacrificially with their money and their time. I've been prayed with and prayed for. We've had scriptures show up in our mailbox every day for a month. I've had the privilege of trying to pray others through their hard times as well. Listen to this. I've seen great men crippled by disease. These were men who were the picture of health, intellect, and athleticism in their healthy years. But worshiping with them in sickness, as their usefulness in this world wanes, is a privilege. Seeing them makes me proud of our church and proud to know the Lord. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's about. It's not about, do I get my same seat? Do they sing the song I like? It's about coming together, loving one another in the good times as well as in the bad times. Amen.